Okay, we can start now. Greetings again. I hope abazalwane are enjoying themselves wherever they are at. And I believe that the coming of the Lord is nearer. That's why we should focus into personal based issues. That includes our health and our mental health, and also the family life and also the financial life. When you read the Bible, you find that the things that I've mentioned are the ones that will contribute towards backsliding or losing the love that is due to God in these times. The devil will bring distresses and bring marital problems, which we're living in a confused society. People are indoctrinated to rebel. Women don't even want to be called women no more. I forgot whom I was talking to, who said, there was a debate or an interview in America where a child was interviewed about either how women should be treated. I forgot the topic was. And the child asked the question, What is a woman? And it said nobody could answer that question, because in the feminism regions, everything has been redefined. So if you're just going to say woman is what was removed as a rib from a man, that's an insult into this feminism protest. So they could not answer. So even all over Twitter, you can see famous females, famous actors, and posting things that are provoking women to be so triggered easily, or to be so emotional about how the society has placed them and what they are in reality, which they say they are equal to men in all rights. You even find in movies here old women that were 60, they go back that training center because they want to be casted in slots where they can perform like or John Wick and perform like other men. There's protest. So we're living in that time where your child will be told something totally something different from what you teach in the church. from cartoons. I used to listen to my cartoons when my child is. I see that there's already an ideology that's being taught here. So, because we're living in those days, and the coming of our Lord is so soon, we should spend time sharpening each other's consciences so that we be not found wanting. So, the topic for today, because I don't want just to randomly around, is a question. It is why the spiritual people are always or in majority have to lack the financial surplus. There is an obvious answer, and many answers that I'm going to give today. An obvious answer will be to a spiritual person considers money the same rush that the heathens worship, and they can even sacrifice eternal life because of that rush. So spiritual people will look at this horror of people who will sacrifice such a tremendous grace for money, and they will choose to run away from that group that is hustling for money, and they will not have enough time to hustle for money with the same energy the godless people have, because the godless people, they hustle for money in equivalent as worship. They do anything. And a holy person cannot do anything for money. Cannot do almost anything to get money. There are things he cannot do. So that's the obvious scenario, which why money is so much of a lack. But we're gonna read scriptures. Remember, this is not a doctrinal matter; it's a generic matter. But we, because we're Christians, when we are Christians, it's customary that when we gather, we should read the Bible and pray, even if the topic is not a spiritual topic or something like, or a church doctrine or something. Heavenly Father, we come before thee and we pray that you open our hearts and help us to see in our souls. And Father, help us to really grow tonight and grow today, because we are all in need of thee, and we don't want to be left behind when you return. We don't want to be glued up in frustrations of the cares and the thorns and the affairs of life until we just lose that joy. We've seen Christians, Lord, in extreme muddy situation. They have sunk themselves in the filth of this world because of concerns and frustrations, and some of them have lost even the appetite to go about, win souls, and to them that's no longer a priority. A priority is just to have money. And Heavenly Father, that's the same priority the devils have. But we are not gonna turn a blind eye that money is one of the essential instruments for a human being and a believer and a holy man and the church. So Father, we come before thee in transparency, and We asking that you be so kind to us, and Lord, expose to us what is your will and your care. We come to thee, Father, in the spirit of requesting and begging for your compassion in this matter, because, Father, we find that the world as it is has other strategies and other systems to bring about solutions for this financial thing. So we are coming to thee, gracious Lord, as those that don't have a backup of some sort or an organization that has been existing for hundreds of years and they have some reservoirs of financial abundance. We are coming to thee, Jesus, as those who are just in an infancy of ideology. And Heavenly Father, we have nothing even in our hands. We just dominating amongst the black race, which is classified by the systems of this great world as a sacrifice of slavery. And we don't have even anything our fathers left for us in the natural hand. So we come to thee that you be merciful to us. We are coming to thee not in knocking for a greediness or of abundance of riches and stuff like that, but we want solutions, because we're going to answer for everything we did, even the way we handled our finances. In Jesus Christ's name, bless us now. Amen. So we're going to start at Numbers 22, verse 18. Numbers 22, verse 18. To read about the issue of money and priesthood. The Bible said, Numbers 22, verse 18. It says, "And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, to do less or more." I remember there was a gentleman we used to be with in the gospel music. This gentleman went to another church here in Devon. One day, he was trying to testify to me. It was after the time that God has captured my revelation level. And I knew what Balaam has done in the church history. But this gentleman only read this verse. That's where I learned the danger of reading a verse, not knowing the story of the whole book. He just read this verse when Balaam was saying these words, and he was glorifying Balaam, a man who would never go beyond the word of God for riches. And I was sitting there saying amen, but I was confounded by his lack of knowledge about the character of Balaam. Because when you read Jude, verse 11, it says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor." When the Bible is concluding this man's affair, it concludes them as someone who went to destruction for riches. But you read it before, the guy says he cannot go beyond the word of God. So Balaam was in the priesthood, he was a prophet, and he knew how to connect with God spiritually. The most difficult thing to teach an infant or a person in Christ is a prayer life. That's the most difficult thing to teach, because you cannot teach somebody something that unless you do it along with them. It's a prayer life, and Balaam was at the level of prayer life where he could pray overnight and get the answer from God, directly from God. And not many people I don't know who's trying to call me at this time of the day. I hope you still can hear me. And this gentleman, he mastered a shield of that art, which many people still struggle to go to prayer overnight over a matter and meet God there and wait until he speaks to you back. Very few people have mastered that. So this man, this guy was not a baby. He was a very high spiritual person. And he knew the things God didn't like. And he knew the voice of God. So what would make a person with this high level of regard who knows to approach God? Remember, this guy didn't have a Bible. He was not resourced from the Israel side of priesthood, where even Moses was still beginning, but there was no history of Abraham or anything that maybe there was a Torah or anything that he has read. He just met God somewhere. And now, though he's living in the heathen's land, but he knew if he had God. And God told him not to curse Israel. And he promised these people up Balaki that he won't do that. What made this guy, when you read the book of Jude, which is the last book of the Bible, if you don't count Revelations, what makes this guy so wicked to a level that he is classified with the serpent seed? It's because of the issue of money. A money can destroy a believer, a preacher, a prophet. It can destroy a holy man. Money can destroy marriage. Money can destroy a man that was, in a few years, so pious, so godly. But if that person didn't get a good guidance in the issues of money, I don't care how emotive his motive is. He might have a very good motive. He might be a very loyal person, doesn't steal a dime. But once he is not educated right with money in his life, that person will suffer all his life. Money's got principles, which are not biblical principles or any principle. It's an entity, and it has its own spirit. That's why you can preach a sermon. It's like when you're preaching a sermon on repentance, And now, after that, you're gonna do deliverance, or you're gonna do pray for the sick. Because those ministries, they operate on two different principles in the spiritual context. You cannot just coming from convicting people with the word and just go direct and call for the sick. It doesn't work like that. You have to change office and wear the spirit of compassion and then come on another way so that people can release their sicknesses. Because if you're preaching a condemning sermon, people will be scared even to. Others would be even thinking that they are sick because of their sins, because of the sermon. But now when you come to healing, you cannot bring the same approach that we are bringing in the sermons of repentance. So it's also money works like that. I mean, so that's why you see abafundisi used to, when they were going to do a fundraising, they will bring someone else, someone who I remember NJ used to bring Babu Msiza, because Babu Msiza will be making jokes and people will be laughing, and then he's got that favor in his life. He just makes people be happy, and then people just offer, because people must be changed when it's an issue of money. So why do people who are spiritual suffer the most? People who are spiritual have a revelation. People who are spiritual, they don't do things until it's revealed to them. And when you read Acts chapter 6, you'll find that Peter, he said, let's call about seven men who has the spirit, who will do the administration of the work. And he said he will focus on, so that Bona, they focus on prayer and the word. That was a revelation, that until the spiritual office is liberated from the worries and concerns that come with the issue of money, there will never be success in that group. There will never be. As they were already fighting. There was already a conflict in the church that had the Holy Spirit coming down every day. But when it came to administrations of issues of money and food and those things, fights come out every time. Once you speak about money in church, or bring an issue of money in the, what do you call this, the board, whatever you call it, deacon board, whatever, trustee board, there will be fights. Money just brings fights. See, so because it's money, it's a material of survival. That's why they're fighting. They're saying the Jews were getting more better treatment because money brings treatment. Today, somebody who's got money will go to a better hospital. You can criticize and say, okay, these private systems, they are a rip-off. They make you stay there many days. You can also die there, as you can die in Ngwelizane Hospital. But my goodness, until you go to a public hospital and see how people are treated there, they're treated like, even I've been in the SPC, what do you call it, SPCA, where animals, I remember when my dog was crackers here, New Year's Eve, and I just drank, because I just want to sleep overnight. There's not New Year's Eve, it was this thing, Yamandia, what, Ramadan or something. So I knew there was going to be noise. I just drank sleeping pills, and I put my phone on the plane mode. And my dog was jumping fences because of crackers until SPCA took it. So in the morning, I had to go bail it up. Went there. It's clean, it's hygiene. It's far, dogs in the SPCA, they're treated far better than patients in the public hospital. Public hospital is just a junk place. It is a hospital, but I'm telling you, you sometimes maybe you can be lucky and be treated well, but it's just a terrible place. So there are areas in life where oyobona khona ukuthi money does matter, especially when you start to have children and a wife and all that. You'll see that money does work. You see, so it's just not only prayer and the spiritual things and the coming of the Lord. Once you don't focus on money, you will lose a big, big portion of your happiness in this life. So Peter is teaching us here that until the spiritual office is not in a position to be struggling for finances, so even if there can be money in the church, like there was money there, even if there can be money, but there will be bonds that will be in that church. That means, like this British symbol of colonialism worked, that there should be civil people work, the working class, and then there should be the politicians who fight wars. Then there should be the popes and the priesthood and the academia people who will be not working, who will be just thinking, supported by the state, finding a way to psychologically imprison people by religion and education and stuff. So that those people will bring these medals and homages and stuff and bring the dignity of the nation and all that. That the system, there must be those who worked from 7 to 4, they're working for this global system, for the nation. So that the priests and all those, the professors, whatever you call it, I hope you get the idea, should not work, because to them it's needed this spiritual psychological thing to write books and doctrines. And that's why you see when the Queen of England is dead or anything, there's going to be the militia there marching, and there will be that cardinals, whatever you call them, sitting there with their, you know, I mean, Anglican Church dressings, and the Bishop of Canterbury, all those people will be there. It's a national power that's there. So if someone would say, no, we need politicians and soldiers to go fight, we get money, but there's going to be a side, psychological, spiritual, honorably, the side that brings the pride of the nation, or that brainwashes the nation to think that they are the best nation, that is working towards formulating a religion for the nation, and that is more strong. People that are religiously brainwashed, and who have educational material that is given in schools by this religious educational system. Remember, religion and education, they whatever that comes out of them is what forms the law. The judiciary will come from those two pillars, because people, that's why they give you the Bible in these courts, because that's where our law comes from. We are in this Dutch system that's coming from Rome at the end of the day. So it's that's why if you want to change the law, you have to change the education system, and also change the spiritual ideology that is being permeated into the nation. Otherwise, you can never change people. People are loyal to those things. They're loyal to those things because that's what brainwashes them towards loyalty to that system. So the education together with the religion will have people who are kind of a priesthood of that place, who are making sure what is studied in schools is what they be honored as professors and whatever. So the law comes out of that, and the judiciary comes out of that. So that's why there's wars. These Chinese have got their own thing. The Muslims have their own way of the law. You see, because it's different. They have a different priesthood there. They've got Muhammad. They've got their own way of teaching the nation. You see, so you can say in America, a woman has rights, because that's the this nonsense of Protestant thing, whoredom that they've received, mixed up with Romanism, and now with Hollywood, and they had to bring something to the people. So, but you go to these nations, the ISIS, you find women are very happy there for belonging in polygamy, whatever that is happening. They are very happy, for they have never been allowed to work in their lives. They don't even want to work in their lives. They are just told that you will be with a house, you will be provided for, and then they never work. They don't have these stresses of divorces and all these independencies, and there's not even an alcohol issue in that nation. Those nations can survive while alcohol is banned. But we turn around and say they are heathens. We turn around, we say we've got a better religion than them, while we divorce every day, we drunkards every day, we frustrated, we've got crime we cannot control every day, but we say we've got a democracy. We've got more poor people. We've got, what do you call this, teenage pregnancy that is out of control. So you can see that the systems of the world, they're not from God. It's just, people can use the Bible, but it's just the devil creating a system to make other people slaves, others powerful, all those things. But it's, so again, money will come out of those systems. Because people, they are made to think like that. And after they are made to think like that, they'll be loyal to that. Like they'll say, take your money to the bank. Every money that you put in the bank is not your money. It's the money that belongs to the bank. If today I put money into the bank, maybe 3 million into the bank, bank will take that money and use it. Use it, trade it, or buy homes with it. I was just told by one person who's a bank that the houses that we think we bought, like when you buy a house, which is you think it's your house, those houses are actually somebody abroad, somebody's investment. Somebody, when FNB or whatever, they go overseas, said there's these potential buyers who will be paying 17,000 for the next 30 years. They look like they are stable people. And that portfolio, they'll invest on that portfolio. When you think you bought a house, can it's an investment to somebody who's overseas. So the bank knows that's not your money. Banks knows that's not your house. That's how now the government is changing to make sure that even the pension is not ours. Because they want to make people be, you cannot manage people who have independence money. That's why if Sisuga, like 10 of us here, we plan to hijack a car, transit, whatever, transit, car heist, whatever. We see poor Mangela. A helicopter will respond, and the flying squad, and like a militia will come there. But if I just go here and just kill 10 people, one van will come there, or two vans. Because money is the way to control the people. When people are dependent, which this government we have, They want people to be dependent. In fact, every government. Every government, go to Russia, they say they're communist. They say they are not a profit-making country. They are, people must just be in communism, you know, free for all. And but you go there, everyone who's in the cabinet is a millionaire and they live the same life the American cabinet, rich people. They've got private jets, they stay in secluded places where only the rich can stay, and they even stay there with the card, some drugs, the kingpin, drug kingpins, and they use that money to even protect some elements of the state. There is an area, I remember FBI was investigating one of the corrupt, international corrupt person. And when they were about to arrest him, he ran to Russia. In Russia, he had this wonderful, beautiful home there where only the rich stay, where only the deputy presidents, whatever, stay. So you ask yourself, their political strategy is they, when Lenin will bring it out, is that we'll all be common, we'll all be, but you get there, it's not like that. Because the system that is offered to people is to make fools out of them. So, an educational system is teaching you, is making you a person who will never have money, but who will be usable in the system of money while you are alive. A political system is, it can give you a break to be a sellout and mobilize people and make them promote you where you will have access to the government funds and still a little bit there and retire rich, but you will never solve the crisis of the majority. So that's why I'm brainstorming like this, so that you see that money is not just an overnight a thing. But in the spiritual context, the first church showed us that Peter, it could not rely on a spiritual person. That's why Peter found, okay, if money is not addressed, there's going to be conflicts. So that's step number one. There will be conflicts until the spiritual people are not involved in a daily hustle to make sure that they open businesses and do those things and because every area of priesthood in the Old Testament, there was Levites that didn't have to work, you know. Why does that happen? It's because a spiritual person or a person with a revelation must pray. I'm not trying to be pray. Maybe I can say worship. Worship is better. Must have equivalent worship time, or I'm not to say time, life, that is equivalent to the revelation the person has. A church where a person who's got a revelation, or like Peter was given keys, a person or people that should be expounding the word of God, who should be going around winning souls, who should be going around praying or just worshiping. Worshiping is not singing. Worshiping is just your life. And if that those people are not collectively sacrificed to go do only that, the same atmosphere that they will be creating, because when those people are released to never worry about debt, to never worry about what I'm going to eat tonight, to never worry about, to worry about, pray for morning to afternoon, where whatever thing the Holy Spirit wants the Holy Spirit done. Those people, when they don't do that, when they are not in that full, immense capacity of being used by God, from their conscience, their mentality and everything wise, when they're troubled, when they're worried, that energy that they have, which is grace, that power they have, it turns to be not working into a positive way. It starts to bring something like a curse to the people that are supposed to benefit. Because I want to make this English. I'm using words that are just generic so that everybody who listens to this understands. Peter says, we must focus on prayer and the word. Now, there are people that have to focus on that. And when those people are not liberated by the group entirely, the group decides, let's raise funds, whatever, to liberate these people, because they walk with something powerful. They walk with something that is a spiritual, some kind of a spiritual power they walk with. And that spiritual power, when it's itedelwe, when it's released, it starts to represent everybody. When you take someone who's anointed to a third dimension, and you take that person, you make him live a life of a working class. Do you know that God brings such people one in a thousand years? Not a thousand years. Maybe one in a thousand years or seventh dimension. Maybe one in a hundred years. And God has this mentality of which he, that person's level of spiritual dominance will even provide imithandazo, ipendulwe, with everyone who will be covered by that, by that influence. So the spiritual people, most of the time, because of the fear of being greedy or of being demanding money from people or whatever, that the righteous side of their life, if they are not trained right, they will sacrifice the right, their right, God-given right, to live a life where people take care of their affairs so that they take care of the spiritual thing. They'll say, no, I'm too much about, I don't want to be better than people, so I'll work out. But as this person is fighting the poverty line, he's fighting the marriage financial problems, he's not praying for the whole the people that are under the shield of this anointing. I don't know, just I hope in my picture of what I'm saying. I don't want to use code names, because code names are scriptural. They might mean something else. But there is a favor. Yeah, maybe a favor is a good name. There is a favor that walks with that. And when something fails in the personal life of Moses, that thing will make the whole nation Israel to fail in the battle. So there is that favor. And when Moses prays and being happy, being in a mood where he can just stay in prayer, like without having to answer but be quiet the whole day, he has to do this, he has to, when Moses is relieving, he's been relieved of those things, the people will be relieved. Because do you know that frustration breeds addiction? You find people who are always struggling. The little money they get, they use it not wisely. It's a sign that they are frustrated. So as they are frustrated, they make stupid, because if you just you put him to frustrated for a long time, and one day you give him money, or he'll do stupid things because you will be responding out of frustration. So if spiritual people who have a gift of grace for millions of people, those people are living a frustration life, it's very dangerous to be behind a ministry, to be behind a pastor, to be behind a prophet who is living a frustration life. Because you will walk with a curse. Because that person is not relieved to worship. And you can never worship above the favor that has been provided for your spiritual leader, whatever. So that's why, that's number one reason, which is the spiritual side of the reason. That's why Peter said, because if we don't follow these God-given ways of doing financial things, we will fall into the what the governments and whatever cryptocurrency people, whatever the current people of this world is systematically provided for us. So you know, 200,000, don't go for cryptocurrency or do anything. That's just somebody's piggy bank. It's got nothing to do with anybody who's there. It's just few people in Washington there who had billions. They don't want to do. I said, let's make more pocket money. We're just going to start something. People as if bad trader. I've seen a lot of people here saying, a person doesn't even earn 500 in a month who's trading. I say, oh, God. You say, no, I'm making something, 2,000. I said, oh, that's somebody's piggy bank. You know, maybe in Obama's project or something, you know. So you, the church or spiritual people have a way. And their way is to make sure that the anointed people are released first. The people that should pray. Pray first. It's different when a prophet is praying for his problems. That's fine. A prophet can pray for his problems. But a prophet that has other people taking care of his problems will pray more for those people because he doesn't have problems to focus onto. So the element of priesthood and it works like that. You'll find when you read, maybe let's go to First Chronicles. Let's start Deuteronomy 15. Let's start at Deuteronomy 15. That's the most dangerous part that spiritual people end up struggling. Because they struggle because they feel like asking people to give money for them is a sin. And especially as we have seen these charismatic preachers who have tend to preach riches and stuff, what the damage that they have done. So we will follow after, we get more scared. We say, yo, you know, I don't need people's money and all those things. And then any preacher who says that, who says he doesn't want your money, will never make you happy. I'm telling you, he will never. That preacher has got a selfish spirit. Because a selfish spirit of a preacher will never be a blessing. A preacher is a servant. He's not there representing his ego. He's not there protecting his. Once a preacher is saying statements that are egocentric, statements that are selfish, that I don't want to use people's money, I don't want to live by people's things, that's a man speaking. And when God has given you a power over families, power that you must pray for their children, pray for their future, pray for all these things, pray for Invuselele and all those things. And we are busy saying you don't want people's money. We are busy saying you are cursing those people because those people will get into debts and get into problems because they don't have a priesthood. They don't have something that is a medium that is representing them. Remember that all things, a car, Mkatin is a spiritual thing. A credit card, Mkatin is a spiritual thing. Everything you touch is not physical. Everything you, an iPhone is something in there, is a spiritual entity. So deaths and problems and all those things are spiritual. You start to see those things amongst us all, and know what there is something in the. We all have to have death. We have to buy a house. There's that generally good death. I'm talking about the death that is just draining you. So you must always look what is a principle that has been broken. You must always do that. And if you don't do that, there will be no progress. So these things that are spiritual, that we struggle with, work. Your work is spiritual. You see, that's why unbelievers will go to a sangoma somewhere and sacrifice a goat, and then he gets employed. Because he has done, he has resolved the spiritual issue. Because it, even though it's God who blesses those people, but because God looks at their faith. So churches where the spiritual people are treated with disrespect, are treated in the same level, you know, just like anybody else, you know, but Adam Aves, God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons, yes, but that's dealing with disobedience. When it comes to prayer, the Bible says the prayers of the righteous availeth much. So you must separate that. When that child was dead there, that woman sacrificed for building him a house there, Elijah, it worked. You see, you cannot, when Elijah came there and the woman had this last flower, and he said, he's going to give it to, he said, make food for me. That is, if you look at those things, it's like putting a preference over a man instead of a dying family, using their last meal. But when it comes to an anointed person, that's how things work. Unfortunately, that's how things work. Once people don't follow that order, and believe me, everything falls. It's ever, they will start a denomination or start a cult, but they will never rely on the spiritual side of things. So, when you read, that's one of the things that make spiritual people, is because they don't want to be a product. I remember, you know, let's read Deuteronomy chapter 15, so that I can't, verse 10. It says, yeah, and whatsoever had not, is it Deuteronomy 15:10? Oh, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thy hand upon. So when you have found where you should sacrifice your finances, all in the order of a church, which here they're talking about the Sabbath, which is the church, local church. So, and the poor were being addressed, and the Levites were addressed, and all that. And then there was a promise that if they give to a right place, they will never. But the Bible does emphasize that their heart must not be grieved when they are doing that giving. So you can give. If you give complaining, give feeling like you are using your resources for just another man or another people, then don't do it. But until you understand, then let's go to First Chronicles 29. So, okay, when you meet a man of God, and you support his ministry as if you are doing a charity case, or as if you are doing a favor, that never works. When people, you know, when you listen to a preacher all the time who's apologetic about taking people's money, that preacher will always leave those people poor. I know in the line of evangelism, I know in the line of rebuking spirits among false prophets, we do that because we want to show praise the word of God more, and showed how vivid we are for the righteousness of the word of God. But in the principle of finances, once you don't have a ministry that you have made sure that this ministry has been relieved for you to carry your blessing, that when this ministry is there winning souls, it's your money that's there. This ministry is there healing the sick. You are healing those sick. Other than to stay with someone who's got power to get 1,000 people healed and 1,000 families reunited, and you are when you are sabotaging that person by your money, the same power that was going to deliver people will return and oppress you. That's why someone was asking me, why did Solomon, his end was him worshiping the gods of those women which he married. Why does the Bible doesn't classify him with the most wicked people like Ahab? And, you know, he still has, he didn't suffer that. Everyone who reads the Bible knows that Solomon is not in hell. But we know the Bible, know that it's election. But someone was asking me, one of these people that we debate, others are atheists and stuff. And they ask, you know, these people just ask questions like, you know, those people. So it was kind of a question like that. And I said to them, there is power. When God anoints a man, it's like anointing a president. And that power that person has spiritually, in the level of demonology, this power becomes a certain dominance in the spiritual world, that something has arrived. It's like when we ordain an elder in a local church, we lay hands. As we lay hands on that person in the spiritual world, he starts to wear a certain authority. Now, that authority is given to that person to exercise it with the word of God. And if he doesn't exercise it and compromise it, remember, his neighbor is another medium, maybe a great sun warmer or something. Because these things, some are pillars there in the spiritual world. And so when someone has got this high anointing, General Solomon, of a nation where he had this wisdom, in the spiritual world, he had a power which was greater as other gods, maybe in the heathen worlds where there's gods. So he that's why about these people that are heathens, when they look at you, Uchochiwe, they look at you as one of the other gods. That's why woman which was raising Samuel or something, he was looking like gods were coming up. Because she, being a heathen, seeing this man anointed, he rose with all that power of being a god, because we are gods there in the spiritual dominion, the way we dominate. But once we lose, we don't use our principles, right, there is bleeding that happens there. You know what bleeding is? Bleeding is when you, something bleeds to another. That's why in my studio, they put that thing so that the sound doesn't come out. Because we're trying to record here, the sound that is bleeding inside here, and someone who's making, maybe a car is passing, that bleeding sound. So it's like that in the spiritual world. That's why the word of God is always number one. Because the word of God is the only thing that makes spirits don't bleed in. Because in the spiritual world, anointing is just another medium of some sort. It's, even though it's ilecho nkulunkulu, but it's another medium. So the devil can steal that thing. And when a preacher backslides, devil steals the same power that was from God and use it to destroy the church. So that's why it's very important that we follow principles, because we suffer every failure in this life. And I'm telling you, once you suffer this thing of finances, it's going to hit you in the family. And what's going to fall after that? Divorce. And you know what follows divorce? Destroys lives. Both of those who divorce and of children who are going to be in that family, they will, others will die in being prostitute. It's like some atomic bomb fell there. Just because of a Christian who did not follow the right principles of finances for himself. So that's how deep it is. You see, I remember I was talking to one of Abazalwani who said to me, "Siyabonga babusukakane, siyabonga ukuthi umuntu njengawe uyayisebenzela." Ngathi mina, that's shame to you. You know, because he doesn't know. I'm very usebenzela, it's my choice, and it's. But he's not supposed to say that. We were supposed to say, "Babusukakane, someone njengawe," because just another the whole day. That's why we don't succeed, because we're supposed to national. We're supposed to be praying the whole day. So it's but so I said shame to you, because I wanted him to catch what he's saying is socially right but spiritually wrong. You are supposed to say, "We are ashamed, Babusukakane, ukuthi we have not lived you spiritually." Nowhere, like if working in Akko is a hobby, then yeah. But if you're working because you have to feed your family, then shame on us. So, because the spiritual power comes to be a security to those people that are living behind that. So that's why I rebuke one of the young brothers. I mean, every day here in my account, I'm always keeping money for poor people, for preachers like Baba Sadle and Lini, Nang 400. Nang. I do that every day. Sometimes I put my family last. Gospel artist, whoever. I'm one of the most charitable person. I'm not praising myself. I'm just want to make a point. And then one day, one young man who's supposed to be, I'm supposed to be a spiritual father to him. He calls me and he says, "Babusukakane, I've got a problem. Can you please lend me 2,000 rand? I'll pay you." I rebuked him because I saw this young man is lost. I'm not the person you can come to and make a loan with me, because I'm a spiritual priesthood in your life. You come to me when you need blessings, when you need things, no matter how humble I am. But once you come to me for a loan, you are showing what you don't understand. Actually, if you knew, you were supposed to take the last money you have, maybe bring to me and ask for prayer. We are not paying for prayer. We don't pay for prayer. But if you had a good attitude, that will work better for you rather than asking for a loan. You come to a prophet and ask for a loan. So that's why we want to abandon who are not educated. Because they forget that money is principles. Money is principles. And those principles, that's why you find people taking their money and making sure these false prophets are rich. And every time when these false prophets pray for their problems, God answers that prayer, because they have done it right in this regard. God is going to deal with the false prophet later. But he will never allow the people who use their money, their problems are going to be solved by the anointing that's on this person. And God never allows people, even when people are just praying, if they believe that healing is going to happen, healing does happen. And only God heals. Only God heals. The devil doesn't heal. He's a killer. So, but God doesn't, look at what they know, the doctrine, or they know. He just looks that they are desperate. They think something supernatural is going to come. And I'm the only person who offers supernatural things. These are my people at the end of the day. He heals them. So, So, but believers who are so much doctrinal, who are so much they start to be arrogant, they start to be proud, they start to use the same Bible to disrespect sometimes people of high authority. That's why the Bible say, I love the Bible say, Michael, when he was arguing with Satan regarding the body of Moses, the Bible say he never dared accuse him. He said, but the Lord rebuke thee. And I sat down and said, my God. Because Michael knew that this man, before he fell, he was a higher angel than me. I'm being sent here. I'm not just going to forget that he had a higher rank. You see, I'm going to use the word of God to rebuke him. So that's number one. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 29. We find a story here. It says, I'm going to read quick. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, which alone God had chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for men, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold, for things to be made of the gold, for the things to be made, and silver for the things of silver, and the brass for the things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyxy stones, and stones beset, glittering stones, and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones, and maple stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God. Over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 of talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers, and whom then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasurer of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jael the Geshemite. Then the people rejoice, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Yes, we find David doing his last, I can say, battle. The last most important thing he did before he put Solomon on the throne was to make sure that people offered their funds willingly. Remember, David has conquered many battles in the other way of fighting. He's been tested in many ways. Morally, any other way, David was tested. Sometimes he was tested by his own son, removing him from the throne. There's no king that was tested as David. But he won all those other battles. But he has never dealt with this situation where he had to do something not for himself. Because remember, David was the one who had the revelation about this temple. And he was the one, he was not authorized to do it, but he was the one who had a revelation. And now, he's leaving his son. And as he's leaving his son, he knows his son is weak. And people are going to undermine him. He doesn't have experience. And he started to save the most precious parts of gold and stuff, so that when his son comes there, his spiritual office be not dragged by him having to fight for money. Number two, he presents this sermon to people who were loyal to him in the other affairs of war and other affairs. These people could do anything that he asked. So at the time where sometime where even people were just, he would tell them, these three soldiers, to go and get water there, and people risk their lives to do that. So these people he's talking to are people that will do anything in the line of being a king. But there was only one thing David could not do. He could not make these people to take their riches willingly in heart for anything. And David knew that Solomon is not a fighter. Solomon is here in a millennium, is easier to demonstrate the millennium kingdom of God that's gonna come in the future. And Yena, he was here to demonstrate the revenge part, which is gonna be a preparation for the millennium kingdom. So there will be that part where Christ will be fighting battles and with his warriors. The Bible says he's gonna come with a white horse and just revenge. And that's gonna be the spirit of David. But when Christ is in the millennium, it will be time of peace. Bible, the 1,000 years of millennium, there won't be even the devil. So that was the time when Solomon was going to be in. So he had to make sure that besides the physical affair of the battle that he has overcome, besides that, he must also win the last battle of making these people that are loyal to him in the military side give freely and give willingly. But then giving money willingly and giving money because of such a siwe is two different things. Everyone who gives money because there's curses that we said are going to come, God will pay back. Like the Bible say, like bread on the water, it will return. It will return like bread on the water. The same level of bread you gave will come back. But if you gave willingly, you gave rejoicingly, then your life gets into your giving. Not when you give with a grudge, God takes your money and God makes sure we set up quick. But when you give with your heart, God looks beyond your money, because you are getting into worship. Now, David, when you read this part, he made sure ukuthi he preaches a sermon and show that he himself as a leader, he's ready, he has been ready to sacrifice these things, amagolide, they are precious. Then, and then he told them why. He's, and then the people gave willingly. Now ask yourself, couldn't David just tell them, these guys, hey, let any man, it was going to be a different thing. God intervened and made a conviction and brought a unity. Something that cannot be done by inkem, but something that cannot be done by a sword, something that cannot be done by anointing, or something that was done by the grace of God. And there was rejoicing. And when you read from verse 10 down, you'll find how blessed was David. And he was so, even himself, he was surprised. He praised God because people had to secure this throne that was coming into action. More from verse 14, it says, but whom am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come from thee, and of thine own have we given thee. David himself, this was a miracle, a supernatural miracle, that people gave willingly. So, Bazalwane, if we can come to a place where it's revealed to us what we should sacrifice for a spiritual office that will minister. Remember, David was ministering, fighting, like, and but when Solomon came, kings from other, like even that woman from the south, they moved up to pray. It was another anointing altogether. Instead of fighting him, they were giving things to him. So the worship was on another level. So this is teaching us that if this willingness of sacrificing your best to a thing, so that whatever the spiritual office is doing doesn't have to fight. And it's God who makes those things happen. Verse 15, for we are strangers. Okay, I see verse 16. Verse 16 says, O Lord, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name, cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. You see, umabantu have given willingly, the glory goes to God. But when people is given, compelled, the glory goes to whatever preacher or the minister, whatever. Hallelujah. So that's where we suffer. That's where spiritual people suffer. Because people that are supposed to be praying, who are supposed to be teaching young evangelists prayer, who are supposed to be fasting for a week with people and doing things, they are emsebenzini. Baphethe ifosholo day morning to the afternoon. They come back being tired, and they can't even pray 3 hours. They have to sleep. They are tired. So that it's like a platoon. All the people that were assigned to that platoon will fail, because you can never be spiritual more than the highest order that you are assigned to. That's why when you are following a ministry, and that ministry is not prayerful, is not holy, is not living right, you must really pray for that ministry, because it's high. Some things will fall into your life. So that's why this money issue is a problem. When we read verse 18, and the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of these people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, keep thy testimonies and thy statutes, and to do all these things and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. UDavid emva kwaloko what he did was to uzosifundela when you read verse 22-26, there he's worshiping verse 20 to verse 22, he's worshiping because now all things were settled, worship could come. The problem is you cannot worship fully if your spiritual offices, financial issues are not addressed. The worship will never be complete. There's miracles we'll never see. Those things we'll never see. There's demon that will never leave people. Because the people that are supposed to be praying, to be going forward, are living the same life. They are worried about squalities. They are worried about marriage problems like anybody else. How is that person going to pray? So, okay, I'll stop there for now. Because from verse 23, they put Solomon on the throne. So ask yourself, why did David make sure that people give willingly? So that there will be loyalty. People who have done things willingly start to be loyal. And when people are loyal to God's revelation, that the prayer of that is coming from there, God answers quick. But when people are obligated, they don't become loyal. That's why you will never find a loyal prisoner. You can find a loyal soldier. Because soldiers enlist. They are patriots. But you never find a loyal prisoner. Because everyone who's in jail is in torment. He's been removed from his freedom. So people have given money in ministries being not free. They went there because Mr. Chiso and all those things. Those people are like in prison. And those people will never be loyal. They'll pretend for the preacher, but they'll be not loyal. So we'll end it there, Basar. And I hope it's been so huge to me. And it's one of those topics that are so rich. And I don't want to, it goes beyond whatever the church that we have or whatever we believe. Who wants to know riches, and especially my leaders, pastors, they must know that if you are fearful of imali abantu, you will never be successful in the ministry, because God has ordained this thing that it doesn't work. That's why John G. Lake, when he was a millionaire, they selling houses, when he prayed for the Holy Spirit, God gave him the Holy Spirit and told him to imali yonke yakhe, to give it to charity. And after he has given his money over, God says he must go to South Africa. He doesn't have money now. He prayed and God took a millionaire woman who just came and said, God said I must give you this money. Because that's how God works. God wanted to bless that woman who wanted to give willingly. But there has to be a ministry that is going to be able to send a thank you back of a grace to this woman. And then if he had his money, which John G. Lake, he was going to be so arrogant and saying, "Here, South Africa, I don't." A court over his life, and the latter over his life has to bless many people. That's why God sometimes will put people up spiritually in poverty situations so that the people who come to rescue them, they get the blessings. So open your mind if you are a preacher or if you are a servant of God. If you have got someone in your influence who is powerful, but spiritually, financially, and family-wise is not released to pray into the same equivalent level of his anointing, that person will never be a blessing to you, because you can never outpray. Even if you pray longer than that person, because he's got more power and favor than you. And God cannot replace the person because now you are here. I've got many people here who are in this ministry who are prayer warriors. I might say, boy, I watch where they, oh, they've been praying, no push. They've been praying, they come back, but they don't prosper. You know why? Because they want to pass me. It's me who's supposed to leave them to that. They can get their gifts activated. That's why Ungidi took Orakula to the mountain. That's how it works. So it works like that. That's how Upengu watato lokuza no babukumbi. That's how it works like that. That man that has Babustolo took God's army to the mountain. That's how it works. If you never get the chance to release a man of God on a power, and at least it was Gankurunkulu, then you will never in your life receive them. So I hope you understand that today. I'm telling you secrets, actually. Things that I cannot tell other people. Because this is what is called secrets. I hope you catch them. But no mfundis does Jengamji, who wants to, like, I told him I'll seven said, but I need a lot. But if Iban, the little tata, leo kindness, yeah, actually abuse, they're going to suffer because they, it's up, the machine is on them to make sure to Solomon, who shall throne, and king. And Solomon is always the type of the Holy Ghost. So, okay, may God be with you. I pray you have learned today a lot, and you're going to go think about it. With your career, with your hard work, you can only achieve what is equivalent to your hard work. If you want to tap onto the spiritual things, you have to come to a medium somewhere. And this is one of the holy ways of doing it. There are many unholy ways. But that's where you tap into the exhalation. So again, I will pray. Heavenly Father, I hope your word has been out. I know you summarized it, but Lord, I hope it's clear. And I hope that even those who don't speak Zulu maybe will hear. May you bless your people, Lord Jesus. May they open their eyes, Holy God. This is you've revealed to me, Holy Jesus. And I pray, God, that today we're supposed to have a meeting.